Ve'ezet Hashem Yisbarach, we are now beginning our Parsha class on Parshas Toldos. Tonight is the night of Chof Ches Cheshvan, Toshinayin Tes, corresponding with the secular calendar of November 5th, 2018. We're going to just briefly tell you the panorama view of the story of the parasha, and then focus on an aspect that will be very, very important. We know that the parasha begins where Yitzchak and Rivka pray for children. They were barren for a long time. It was actually for 10 years in Eretz Yisrael, and as a result, Yitzchak prayed opposite his wife Rivka, and Hashem answered his tefillah, and she became pregnant. And we all know the story that when she passed by the Beis HaMedrash of Shem Ve'ever, Yaakov, at that time she did not know she was having twins, Yaakov pushed and wrestled in her stomach to try to go out. At that time he was inspired by the Beis Midrash of Shem Ve'ever. And Esav, when he went and felt the impression of a church, a Beis Avodah Zarah, that Rivka would pass by, he would push and try to want to go out. She was petrified, she was confounded. What kind of a child do I have? A child that wants to go serve Hashem should not want to go out and serve idols. And this was very perplexing, and she went to Shem Ve'ever, who then were prophets. Shem Ve'ever, Shem is the one who lived through the flood. Shem is the son of Noach. And they were prophets, and he asked, "What's going on with me?" And he said, "You do not have one child, you have two children." She was much more relieved, because she says, "Then I have two normal children, and chinuch is up to the parents." You tell me, he said, you're having twins, one will grow up to be a great tzaddik, and the other one will be a person who will be involved with the underworld, involved with killing and doing other things." And when she heard that, she wasn't taken by that report, because again, chinuch is in the hands of the parents, and she was confident, at least at that time, that she would do her best to train them both. And the truth of the matter is, when they were born, they grew up in the house of Yitzchak. Could you imagine? The house of Yitzchak was like a mini Beis HaMikdash. And you would not tell the difference between Yaakov and Esav. If you want to be a little bit dramatic, they both were yarmulkes, they both had payas, they both wore tzitzis, they both made brachas, they both did what the father and mother required. But when they reached 13, Yaakov took one path, Ish Yoshev Oyalem, a child who devoted himself in the tent of Torah, and Esav chose to be a hunter, to be a man in the field, and that's where the two separated their careers or their goals. We all know the story that Esav at the time had a tremendous desire to take the coat of Nimrod, the coat that Nimrod probably in his past dealing stole from some other person, from other king that came out, was right from Adam Arishan, and that coat had some magical, I would say, amazing powers to stun any animal and would make the animal stay where he would be, and you would be easy to capture that animal. And Esav saw that coat on Nimrod, and he knew the only way he was going to get that coat is by killing Nimrod. And as the story goes on, as the Torah retells what had happened, he killed Nimrod on the day that Avraham passed away. As we know, Avraham passed away right before he killed Nimrod, because Hashem wanted to fulfill the promise that he promised Avraham, that he will die b'seiva tova, in a good old age, satisfied and fulfilled. If he would have lived through, because he was really supposed to live until 180, but because the promise was that he'll live a satisfied, happy, wholesome life, it could not be fulfilled if people would be cursing the grandfather of a murderer, the grandfather of Esav who killed the king of a most powerful king of a well-known country, and that would be a tremendous, tremendous shame that would have been brought out of Avraham Avinu. And therefore Hashem took away 5 years of his life, and he died at 175 instead of 180. As the Torah tells us, that after he murdered Nimrod, he was, of course, very, very frightened of the future. It's the first murder, and he was nervous. He came in tired and weary, and he sees Yaakov prepare this pot of lentils, because he was preparing this food, this mourner's food, for his father Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is now a mourner, having to mourn over the death of his father Avraham. So as he's busy preparing this red pot of lentils, Esav walks in. He says, "I see you cooking this pot of lentils." And Yaakov said, "Didn't you hear? Zaidi Avraham passed away. Father is a mourner. That's why I'm cooking." Esav says, "I'm very hungry. I'm tired. Give me this pot. I want to. You'll make another one." So Yaakov knew right away he had an opportunity to barter, to make a deal with Esav. Says, "I'm not going to give to you for free. So what do you want?" Esav said. Yaakov says, "I want the birthright." The birthright, he thinks, he says, "What do I need the birthright for? To be a Bechor." Of course, that's what he had, what he was. To be a Bechor. A Bechor means you're going to be a Kohen, in the future I'll be working the base of Migdash. I can't drink wine when I want. I can't become tummy when I want. No good. You can keep it. I don't need it. Give me the pot of beans. So for like a plate of cholent, if that would be the way, he sold his birthright. That was worth it. Trillions, if that number is even appropriate, that he gave it to Yaakov, and it was Micha Kiyah, and that's in short the beginning of the parasha. We fast forward close to 60 years later. Esav forgets about the sale, and Yitzchak's eyes begin to fail. They become dim, and as a result, he wonders, "Why am I suddenly losing my sight?" He thinks to himself, and he says, "You know what? It's 5 years before, or just about the beginning of 5 years before my mother passed away, and the rule is, you should be concerned either 5 years before or 5 years after." His mother passed away at 127. All right, and I'm not exactly sure what at the end of 127, at the beginning of 123 would be 5 years at the beginning of it. So there you have a period of time where he says, "Ay ay ay, maybe I'm going to die." He quickly calls over Esav, his son, and he says, "Please, I feel I might be dying. I want to bless you before I pass away." Rivka is in the other room and hears this discussion. And she calls over Yaakov and says, Yaakov, I overheard your father say to Esav that he feels like he's going to pass away because his eyes are becoming dimmed. Please, I don't want you to miss this opportunity. His father, Yitzchak said to Esav that I want to bless you before I pass away. Rivka says, I don't want him to bless Esav. I want him to bless you with all his heart. Listen to me. Go and take two goats. I'll prepare it for father the way he likes it. You'll go into him and you will take the blessings. Yaakov right away is the Isha Emes. He says, I can't do that. He'll tap me and perhaps he'll tap me and discover I'm an imposter. He'll curse me instead of blessing me. Rivka says, never mind, I'll lie, upon me shall be the curse, you listen to me. And Yaakov took his command from his mother, prepared, he got the two goats, she cooked it, prepared it, and he walks in and presents the food for his father. His father, Yitzchak, says, how come you suddenly got it so fast? And Yaakov says, oh, Hashem provided me the opportunity to get the food, the hunting, and here it is. And he was a little bit confused, so fast. He's speaking with Hashem's name, Hashem provided. And when he walked in, he saw the gates of Gan Eden open up. He says, what's going on over here? He can't see. What's going on? He says, come over, let me feel you. And we all already know in the story that Rivka took the skins of the goats and put it all around his neck and on his arm that it would feel, that it would be hairy. He wore the coat of Nimrod, that it would also clothe him and smell like he's from the outdoors. And he feels and he says, interesting, I call Yaakov. I hear it's a voice like Yaakov, but hey, you're the Esav. The hands are out like Esav. And he blesses him. And he eats the food, and he is satisfied as he gives him the bracha. He blesses him with all the goodness that you can possibly imagine. And as he blesses him with all the blessings, he walks out of the room, and in comes an Esav. Esav walks in, and Esav says, Yakum Avi, get up, father, my father. I have your hunting, so you can bless me. And at that point, the Torah tells us that Yitzchak was terribly frightened. Yitzchak was shocked over here at that time that he walked in, and here he hears Esav's voice, and he says, I just gave you a bracha. I just ate for your hauntings. What is this? And he has a tremendous fear grips him, and he's shaking, and he's so confounded, and he is tremendously disturbed. Ayyavay. It could have been. He sees Gehenna open up underneath him, because he says, why? I see Gehenna. Maybe I've done a sin. I blessed the wrong child. I blessed the younger one before the older one. And maybe Hashem's upset with me. And that's why I see Gehenna. And he said, the Medrash explains, oh, what do you mean? You blessed my younger brother. Now I know why you called him Yaakov. Now he tricked me twice. Now Yitzchak did not know of the sale that took place. Yitzchak is unaware that somewhat less than 60 years ago, here Yaakov bought the birthright from Esav. And now really Yaakov is the Bechor, the legal Bechor. And when he hears that, and he finds out that really the Bechor wasn't really legally Esav, but really it was Yaakov. He adds the words Gam Baruch Hi, let that Yaakov be blessed. Now this is the story in a nutshell. Now let's study the story. The story first needs to be explained. Why did Yitzchak become blind? Rashi mentions three reasons why Yitzchak became blind. I'll briefly mention the three reasons, but we're going to ponder on one of them. One reason Yitzchak became blind is because the tears of the Malachim fell on the eyes of Yitzchak at the time of the Akedah, and it weakened his vision. So later, when he became 123, his eyesight failed. We are right now going to read the Pasuk. Let's go to page 134 in the Art Scroll, and we're going to read the Pasuk. It really starts on the other page, Vayihi, but we can turn the page. Vayihi ki zaken Yitzchak, when Yitzchak became old, vatichena einam neros, his eyes became dim from seeing. Vayikra es Esav beno hagadol, he called Esav his oldest son, vayomei elav beni, he said, my son, vayomei elav hineini, here I am, vayomei hineino zakanti, vayidati yom moisi, I don't know the day I'm going to die. And now, as I told you the story in brief, I want you to go take your bow and arrow and your sword and go get a hunting for me, and please prepare food for me so I can bless you. Why does his eyes become blind at an early? This is relatively early, so I just told you one explanation is that because the tears of the Malachim fell on his eyes. A second reason, Rashi says, is because the ketores, the incenses of the avodah zarah, of the sacrifices to the idols of the wives of Esav, blinded the eyes of Yitzchak, because he couldn't handle the toxic smoke, the toxic fumes that went into his eyes and it blinded him. A third reason, and this is the reason that we're going to spend the rest of our shir on, is in order, Hashem planted this way, in order that Yitzchak should bless Yaakov. If you would see Yaakov walk into his room, he would not have blessed him the way he blessed him, as we know the story to be. Let's now start exploring this whole episode. Why in the world, if we all know that Rivka was aware that at the birth, pre-birth of Yaakov and Esav, where Shemon Aver said, "V'rav Yaavod Tzoya," I'm quoting from my Rebbe's, the Sefer Chidekel, Rabbi Chaim Del Kelo Shlita, a bit of his shir, beautiful shir. V'rav, and the older one will serve the younger one. It's clear. She knew by prophecy that the older one, his Esav, is going to serve the younger one. Why didn't she go over directly to her husband Yitzchak and say, my dear, we were at the Nevuah of Shemon Aver, we know who is going to be the great child, please bless Yaakov, go straight and give Yaakov a bracha. And a second question you can ask, why didn't Hashem himself command Rivka to tell Yitzchak? Since we know in the previous episode with Sarah, we know with Sarah and Yishmael, we know the story, Hashem said to Avram, Shema Bekola, listen to her voice. So let Hashem say to Rivka, Rivka, tell Yitzchak to bless Yaakov, because that's the prophecy you heard, and finished. And then we know Shema Bekola, he would have listened to her voice just like Avram listened to Sarah. What was this whole idea that it had to go so clandestinely? It had to go through the blindness of Yitzchak, that he had to think he is blessing Esav, and then discover later on that he's truthfully, he's really blessing the wrong one, which is Yaakov. Why did it have to go through that process? So the answer to this is, the Rebbe explains that it's brought down in the Shir Hadas, also a sefer that from Yosef Leibloch Zitzal. The following point, which is very important to say, in order for the bracha to reach its apex, Yitzchak had his mind set on blessing Esav, because Esav had a certain role in this world, a certain, according to some mepharshim, Yaakov was to be a man of ruchnius, Esav was to be a man of gashmius, and if we would bless Esav, ultimately he would end up helping Yaakov, and therefore he wanted Esav to be blessed. So the blessing that would come from the depths of his heart had to be a blessing to Esav. Mm-hmm. The only way we would be able to get Yitzchak to give that deep, wholesome bracha from the depths of his heart, from the emes of his heart, to Yaakov, is only if he was thinking in his mind that he was blessing Esav. And then only, and then the bracha would reach an apex to the bracha that it's supposed to have been. There were two things that happened. First, he blessed him at first. And then there was another incident that came about as a result of Esav coming into the picture. What was the next step? When Esav came into the picture, there was a tremendous reaction. Let's turn to Pasuk Lamed Gimel. And let's turn in our art scroll to Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel is on page 138. When Esav walks into the room and says, "I'm here, my father. I'm here with the food. I'm here for you to bless me." The pasuk says, "Vayechad Yitzchak charada gedayla ad ma'od," that he had a tremendous, intense, shocking fear. Ad ma'od. The Torah doesn't play with words. Mefarshim explain that was more frightening than Akedah Yitzchak when he was on the Mizbeach. Because at that time, he felt that he has done a sin. He blessed the younger one before the older one. And that is where now he sees the Pesach of Gehenna, the opening of Gehenna opened up under him. And therefore he was petrified. So then Esav is going on, and as let's read on the pasuk, "Vayechad Yitzchak charada gedola ad mi'od," and he was terribly, intensely shocked. "Vayomer," he said, "Mi'yifahu who hatzot zayid? Who was that one who captured a hunting? Vayavei li, and he brought to me. Va'oicham, and I ate. Mikol b'terem tovay." Before you have come, I blessed him. Kam baruch yehiyah. He should also be blessed. Now, how did that fit in? So the Medrash Tanchuma is where the whole discussion goes, where Esav said, "Oh, he fooled me a second time. First he fooled me by making me sell the birthright for a pot of beans. And next, on top of that, he's now has taken my blessings. When Yitzchak heard that, he added the words, Gam Baruch Yehiya. He should also be blessed. He should also be blessed. And that was the finale of the blessing on Yaakov Avinu. Because now he was certain that the blessing went to the right one, because Yaakov was legally the older one and not the younger one.
At the time of the Harada, he didn't know that he blessed the younger one instead of the older one.
No, he thought he really blessed the younger one, and that's why he saw the Pesach of Gehenna open up.
He wondered who was that. He didn't know who was.
So he thought who walked in? Esav. And when Esav walked in and told him that this is happening, that right? So he said, why do I see it? And he said, I'm Esav, your son. I'm here to get a bracha. But I just gave you a bracha. Unless I've given it to the wrong person. And that made him petrified on the fact that he has sinned by giving the blessing to the wrong person. At any rate, as we move on with the story, Yitzchak, therefore, blessed Yaakov a second time, and Esav is terribly, terribly hurt. And as we go further on to the story, let's go to Pasuk Lamed Dalet.
When was the first time that he blessed him?
He blessed him before, and you turn back, well, it's on the top of Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayigash, the same page, 138. Vayigash, Vayishak Lev, Vayorach Esreach Begadav. He smelled.
So this is the first time.
Vayivarcheyu. Right now, this is very important. What I'm going to mention to you right now. Let's go on Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Okay, Kishmaya Esav is Divrei Aviv. When Esav heard the words of his father, that he had now blessed him again. Vayitzak tzo'oka gedoyla umada ad me'oid. And Esav let out a shrieking, bitter, frightening scream ad me'oid. Vayoyim la'aviv, and he said to his father, Barcheini, bless me, my father, gamoni avi. Please, also bless me, Father. Vayoyim, and he said, Bo achicha b'mirma. Your son come with trickery. Vayikach birchasecha. And he took your blessings. Vayoyim, says Esav, Achi korah shemo Yaakov? Is this just the way why you called me Yaakov? Yakveini zeh pamayim, and he fooled me twice. As birchayrasi lokach, he took my birthright. Vihinayato lokach birchasi. And he took my bracha. Vayoyma, and he said, Haloy atzaltoli bracha, don't you have at least one blessing to give me? And Yitzchak said, I gave him everything. I made him a leader. I made him blessed with the land, with physical possessions, and with everything, with power. And I don't have anything. And he continues on and on. And Pasuk at the beginning of over there, at the end of Pasuk Lamed Ches, it says Vayisa Esav Kailai Vayevk, and he starts to cry. So now we continue on. Finally, Yitzchak gives him a blessing. Pasuk Lamed Ches. Vayan Yitzchak Aviv Vayomer Elav. Yitzchak, his father, answered him. He said to him, Hine Mishmani Oretz. From the fat of the land, Yem Moshevecha shall be your dwelling place. Umital Hashemayim Me'al. And from the dew of heaven above. Va'al Charbuch Hasichye. And you will live by your sword. Va'esachicha Tavod. And your brother you will serve. Va'hoye Kashetorid Uferakhtu Uloi Me'al Tzavarecha. And when you will Kashetorid. When you will see your brother go down from his level of learning Torah. If you see your brother actually going down, right, then you will remove ufarakta ula miyatsavarecha. You will remove that ulo, his yoke from upon your neck. In other words, he is blessed with a conditional blessing that you, Esav, will be controlled by Yaakov. But as long as Yaakov learns Torah, he has control over you. But you can watch and be careful. If Yaakov doesn't learn Torah properly and doesn't serve God properly, then you will be able to remove that yoke from upon your neck, all right? And you will then be superior over him. Now, Vayistem Esav as Yaakov, next pasuk Mem Aleph, Esav hated Yaakov al habracha, upon the brachas asher beichel aviv, that his father blessed him. Vayoyme Esav belibo, and Esav said in his heart, Yikvu yemei evil avi, in the days of my father of mourning will come, v'aharga es Yaakov achi, and I will kill Yaakov, my brother. Now let me tell you what's going on over here. Some very frightening things. And one particular thing that I have come to realize myself in preparing the shiur. Another very interesting thing that every shiur, Baruch Hashem, so far, forgiving the shiur, I get a certain insight that is a credit to all of you. First of all, the bracha Yitzchak gave Yaakov had to come from the depths of his heart. And that is the reason why Fitachena Enof, Hashem had to make the eyes of Yitzchak dim, so that when he blessed him, he thought he's blessing Esav, and he blessed him with an intense feeling of closeness and love, and he gave the bracha to Yaakov with a full heart. Later he discovered it was really the right person because he sold his birthright, and he doubled the statement saying, "Vagam Baruch Yehiyah." The bracha came from the depths of his heart. And when anything comes from the depths of a person's heart, it's eternal. Now let's go to another sad reality. What other part of this story did it come from the depths of the heart? Was the scream, the shrieking, painful scream of Esav. That shrieking, painful scream, where we said in the pasuk, "Vayitzak tzaka gedola umara ad me'od." That wasn't make believe. That wasn't a fake. That was for real. And do you know how long that shriek lasted? Says the Medrash, it lasted for generations until Mordechai HaYehudi, hundreds of years later, was able to dispel the damage, the critical damage of that scream has done to Klal Yisrael. How? Why Mordechai HaYehudi? Because Mordechai came from Shevet Binyamin. And Shevet and Binyamin wasn't born yet when Binyamin, remember, when Yaakov and all the 11 children bowed down to Esav, when later, years later, Esav met Yaakov after 21 years, he was at Laban's house. On his way back at 21 years. Binyamin wasn't around. Now Binyamin, therefore, was the only one that had the power to go against the effects of Esav's influence. Only Binyamin. And where did Shevet Binyamin produce that person? He produced a Mordechai. Mordechai HaYehudi had to go out in the streets of Shushan HaBira and scream, "Atzaka Gedoyla Umara." He also screamed when Haman, his descendant, the descendant of Esav, tried to annihilate the Jewish people. And because Mordechai went into the streets and altered the Tzaka Gedola, it disbanded, it nullified, it removed the Tzaka Gedola of Esav, that he screamed, that shrieking scream, when he discovered that he lost the bracha. The intense, wholesome scream, the frightening scream of an Esav was lasting for many generations until Mordechai HaYehudi came about. So let's take it further. The Torah tells us that he hated him. V'yistam Esav es Yaakov, ala bracha. Do you know that hate still happening till today? That hate is still around till today. I asked myself a question. We know that the Christians are the descendants of Esav. It's so unreasonable. Incomprehensible. What does the Christians want from us if we did them nothing? What's in their DNA that they have to kill Jews? Go back to the Crusaders, go back to the Inquisition, and we know how much they love us today. Where did it come from? From this pasuk. From the pasuk is saying that Esav, Vayistam Esav is Yaakov al Habracha. He feels in his DNA that he was aced. He got him. And I have to get him back. Why is it? And listen to this other little pointer that I felt I realized just in preparing the shiur, or just about it. Why do the Christians go meshuga, these missionaries, spend thousands of dollars to try to capture one Jewish child? And they'll go to the Russians or people who are ignorant, who have no idea of Yiddishkeit. And they're excited, they're ecstatic that they get even one Jewish person. And they're paid heavenly for it. Why? Where did that come from? You know where it came from? From this week's parsha. Why? Because the parsha says that he was blessed by Yaakov by saying, "There will never be, you'll never be the same. When Yaakov goes down, you go up. You'll throw the yoke over your head. The yoke of Yaakov from over your head. When Yaakov stops learning." What do they gain when taking a Jewish child and make him into a Christian? They give themselves credit and credibility so that they could fulfill that pasuk where we just got so saying, and we'll when he goes down, then you can throw the yoke off your head, off your neck. Because you get another Jewish child, it gives the Christians more strength in being superior over the Jew. It comes from over here, from this pasuk, that the hate of the Esav is still today. It's intense. Why? Because we took the brachas away from him. So you'll ask me a very good question. Who comes from Esav? Amalek. We had a chance to obliterate him. Then how come it says in the pasuk, in Bishalach, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yeshua to go wage war against Amalek? And you want to say a pasuk, I always am amazed when I say it and when I hear it being read. An amazing pasuk. After the story of Amalek coming, guess what? They go to war, and the pasuk tells us that, just let me read it to you. The pasuk says, "Vayachalosh Yehoshua es Amalek," and Yeshua weakened Amalek and es Amo and his people of Ficharev. Why did he do that for? Why did he do that for? Kill them! Get rid of them! If a snake comes to poison you and kill you, get rid of the snake. Amalek is like the snake. Why does the Torah tell us Vayachalosh Yeshua? Get rid of him. If he would have gotten rid of him, we would have gotten rid of Haman too. If he would have gotten rid of him, we would have gotten rid of Esav's influence today too. Then there wouldn't have been an Inquisition or pogroms from the Cossacks and so on. Why? You know why? Because Yitzchak gave a bracha. And gave a bracha to Esav, also from his heart. And that bracha was eternal. And do you know why he gave such a bracha? To say that you'll never be equal to your brother. When your brother is up, you're going to be down. It's like a yoke around your neck. And your brother is down, he's not serving the Torah, observing the mitzvahs, then you go up. Why was Yeshua commanded to weaken Amalek? Because the destiny of the Jewish people is, sadly to say, is that it needs Amalek, the whipping boy, to be able to keep us Jewish people on track, unfortunately. And that's what happened in the time of Haman, that Haman whipped us back into line when he went ahead and made his decrees. And unfortunately, the Jewish destiny is, and Yitzchak foresaw that. He foresaw that. That the Jewish destiny is that they needed that Esav to suppress the Jew into line so that the Jew will serve Hashem when he is forced to. And therefore, we have till today, unfortunately, the impression and the influence of Esav to keep us in line when we need to. What we have to walk away from this parasha is what it means to daven and pray from the bottom of our hearts. When a person davens from the bottom of his heart, there is more than just a listening ear. There is a reaction from Shamayim that becomes eternal. Just like it worked for Yitzchak, just like it worked for Esav, it will work for us too. May the Almighty bless us with the foresight, the insight, to serve Hashem with all our heart, and with this we will be blessed ourselves, and our families, and our communities.
Also the merit, this should be in the merit of
Sharon Bess.
Let tonight's share have been a merit for Sharon. Sharon Bas
Miriam.
Bas Miriam. She should have refuah shalema b'karev. And we should learn from today's lesson what it means to daven with kavana. Have a wonderful week.